Murray State hosts its annual presidential lecture this week. This year, the topic is diversity efforts within higher education. The three panelists are all Murray State alumni and experts in their own right. We'll hear from all three of those experts this week ahead of Thursday's lecture. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Martez Hammons. He's the current Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion at Arkansas Tech University. Dr. Hammons, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Jay.
So your current position is the first of its kind at Arkansas Tech. Tell me about your role on campus.
Absolutely. So I am the inaugural Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion. And at Arkansas Tech, this position, I focus on supporting and the inclusivity of underrepresented populations. And my job is to make sure they are supported through their student organizations, have a voice on campus, but then also to educate the entire campus about said populations and how in which we as a campus can ensure that not only that we're diverse, but we're also inclusive. Mm-hmm. And so just programming and education and training, those are some of the things that I do and are responsible for as the Associate Dean. And most definitely advocating for our underrepresented populations and making sure that their voice is heard at the table.
And you're fairly early on in your higher ed career, and from your perspective, just from what you've seen so far, what do you see as some institutional challenges that face diversity and inclusion efforts within higher ed?
Well, that's a really good question. Oftentimes, the institutional challenges, first off, I would say, stem from legislative challenges. As our legislator changes from sometime year to year or 2 years or 4 years, different legislative acts or bills do trickle down to the institutional level, and it makes a difference on how and which we do our work here. And you know, if it's a law or a state law or a federal law that prohibits some of the things that we're trying to get folks to understand to be more inclusive or to do to be more inclusive, then that really hurts and hinders the work that I do on campus. Institutional-wide is the campuses and institutions that I have worked at are all what we call PWI, predominantly white institutions. And so, therefore, the challenges at those institutions are there are more people that don't look or don't identify as our underrepresented populations, henceforth why it's called underrepresented populations. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge is to getting the majority to understand, to look through the lens, and to empathize with those individuals who are coming from a place of difference or who identifies differently than the majority. And so I think that's the major institutional challenge, is being able to work at these institutions where at the top there are very few people who come from what we call a diverse background or and so many of our institutions still have the traditional white males that are at the top of the institution and that run the institution. And sometimes it is a challenge to get them to better understand where our students and faculty and staff that are underrepresented are coming from, and what they believe and how they feel and how they show up in spaces. And so that's pretty much the challenge, I think, the big challenge. And you see that through budgets. You see that through promotions and tenure. You see that through the type of commitments that are priority. And so that's pretty much what I do all day, every day.
Let me move on to another topic, and that is how universities in communities, you called them PWIs, predominantly white institutions, and many rural universities can be in PWCs, predominantly white cities. So what does it take to attract a diverse student body, faculty, and staff to a university that may not be in the most diverse city or neighborhood?
That's an amazing and awesome question. And I would say that it takes leadership. It takes courageous steps. It takes people with genuine hearts. And it also takes people that look like the folks that we're trying to attract to our institution. And so at predominantly white institutions that reside in predominantly white cities, folks will come where they feel comfortable Folks are attracted to places where they feel that people have a genuine interest in them. And so, and then also folks will come where they see folks already thriving and doing well in those spaces, because that serves as a reality check that those individuals can and have done really well in those spaces. I too can. And so I think as institutions are thinking about this thing called recruitment and retention of our students, we also have to look at it from a place of recruitment and retention for our faculty and staff. They're very crucial. I say it often, and I don't shy away from this. We oftentimes go to the houses and people's houses of those who are welcoming to us and those who have invited us to our to their houses. And so, and when we get there, they have treated us well, and they have made sure that we felt inclusive. And when I left that place, I either talked about two different things. I talked about wanting to return there, or I talked about never going there again. And so we have to look at it that way. The town and gown relationship between the institution and the city makes a world of difference as well. Students don't want to go to a place where they feel welcome on campus, but when they leave the surrounding area of a campus, they no longer feel safe or welcome. And so it's the institution's responsibility to reach out to the town and reach out to those predominantly white cities, as you call them, to ensure that we're working with local government, law enforcement, working with local businesses. As they're doing business with our institution, they are also mindful of the many different people that we support on our campus and that we have invited to come to our house, most definitely.
And you're just you're less than 10 years removed from your time at Murray State. You grew up in Murray. Now you've got the benefit of hindsight, which they say is 20/20, right? So tell me, what can you say about this community and this university by way of efforts of inclusion and equality?
We talk about diversity and inclusion as always progressing, and trying to start from a foundation and continuing to build off that foundation. And I do truly believe, I love Murray, Kentucky, and I love my alma mater, Murray State. And there were times, and I can truly say there were times that I felt marginalized at both. But it never outweighed the times that I felt supported and loved. And so I can truly say that, and you know, when I was a student, let me be very clear, when I was a student or when I was growing up in Murray, Kentucky, when experiencing any sort of marginalization, it was heavy, it hurt, but now looking at it from, like you said, 2020, and looking out from a more professional, adult, and maturated person, I'm thinking those were small things. Those were small things, but they do hurt, right? And oftentimes not intentional. And we talk about in diversity and inclusion that our intentions often don't equal our impact. But I do truly believe that Murray State is progressing. And as the years have passed, I've seen some of the work that's been done through several different offices that has truly been inspiring to me and refreshing to me as an alumni.
And my last question is, what do you hope the audience will take away from Thursday's discussion?
First, I hope the audience take away from the discussion anything that's actionable. I don't want folks to listen to what I have to say or what Dr. Bumpus has to say or what Dr. Thornton has to say only to be put on a shelf and rested there. I want them to take what we say into consideration and to heart to hopefully make a change, to hopefully really take a look and reflect on each and every one of their lives to see if there's some way that they can change to ensure that we're not just talking it, but we're walking it. And we are really, you know, truly as individuals in life looking to make a change for the better. The quote that I use here at this institution, and it's been really special to me, is more than one truth can exist in a space and function. And it's just simply saying that just because your truth may not be my truth, your identity may not be my identity or how I identify, Your truth may be that you're LGBT. Your truth may be that you're heterosexual. Your truth may be that you're religious or non-religious. Your truth may be that you're disabled or not, or able-bodied. No matter your color or what have you, no matter your truth, it doesn't prohibit us from working together, from functioning. And so if we could figure out how to just package all of that and put it in our hearts and minds, I do think that the students, the faculty, the staff, the community, everyone will walk away with something they can chew on and literally help them to change.
Dr. Martez Hammons is among the three panelists that will be speaking at the presidential lecture here on Thursday. Dr. Hammons, thanks so much for your time.
I thank you very much for the opportunity.